Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
A little turkey, little stuffing, put a little mashed potatoes on it, and down the hatchet it goes. The one I can...
The hatchet, whatever.
Hatchet.
That's a couple extra letters among three.
That was something, and that was just a little bit earlier today as we tape this special Thanksgiving edition of the Joint Mega Picks podcast, although it's not really mega, it's just the three Thanksgiving Day games. It's an extra little bonus just for you.
Just for you that
and viewing audience.
Just, hey, let's peel back the curtain. You sound like you don't want to give the people this bonus. It's a little bit of a complaint in there in West Virginia about a little extra work and an extra little part of the podcast. Yeah, I'm exposing your ass on pre-Thanksgiving.
Oh, no, but you know what? There'll be a little bit of an extra invoice at the end of the month for this one. In addition to the regular Joint Mega Picks podcast, we are doing one specifically for the Thanksgiving Day games, three of them, and they're all great. Our picks may not be. We also are going to go through the games, and then we'll have one best bet from the three games against the spread or over under, whichever we choose to do. We'll do that after we make our picks for the three Thanksgiving Day games. And as always, the odds are provided by BetMGM. Let's get right to it, because this is a great slate. Now, all three games could end up being, as Chris said earlier today, shitballs. We don't know. Sorry. So I can't get past that term, and I keep envisioning a bowl of steaming shitballs on the Thanksgiving buffet that everyone will wisely avoid.
Thank you.
Okay. So, you're the one that said it, and as Pete says, bon appetit. All right. Bills. At the Lions in the early game, the Bills back in Detroit, their home away from home. 9.5-point favorites against the surging, kneecap-biting Detroit Lions, who have won three in a row. Won their first road game since 2020. First three-game winning streak since 2017, for crying out loud. Do they make it a four-game winning streak? Do they have a chance? Can they beat the Bills? Can they cover the spread? Chris, while you're sitting there munching on whatever hors d'oeuvres you eat on Thanksgiving, chips and dip and celery and this and that, as you're pre-gaming down the hatchet, the various foodstuffs short of the Thanksgiving meal, what do you think will play out?
That's right. I mean, the first game, I love the first game. I go in from the Thanksgiving Day parade to little pre-game show, watch the big fucker talk about the matchup.
The dog show.
It'll be on.
Some of the dog show.
The daughter will have that on the second screen, so that we'll have that on as well. Got to watch the big fucker do the CBS pre-game show. They do the Bills-Lions. And, yeah, I mean, that's an important part of the day for me right there. I mean, first off, hors d'oeuvres don't come quite yet. It's 12 o'clock tomorrow. Okay, I'm going to probably make my drink right then, let it marinate for a little while. Then I got to go out and have a little smoke. Okay, get a little smoke going, then come in, have a little sip of the drink, and now I get to sit down and watch the game. I mean, and then, yeah, little chips and dip, little celery and dip, little carrots and dip. That's going to be the day until we have a late Thanksgiving dinner. So I can't wait for that. All right, there's my.
So I think I've figured it out now.
Yeah.
The best way to get yourself through a full day of gluttony is to enter the process with the munchies.
Exactly.
That's the strategy.
Exactly. I think you could appreciate that. Maybe one day we can spend a Thanksgiving day together and we can do it together and have fun. It might be a good time for us. But then I am excited for this game. Listen, I'm expecting kind of fireworks with this football game. You know, I see here that it's the 54.5 over-under. I'm not shocked to see that. I think these are two offenses that are going to move the ball, you know, at a pretty good clip throughout the day. You know, I look at it again. We know the Lions defense has been better as of late, but I'm not sitting here ready to write home that I think they're going to stop this group and Josh Allen and what they do. You know, you don't have a great pass rush, right? We know they're not great in pass defense. They're not really good in any aspect of their defense. So this is the kind of game where the Bills probably will have the run game available to them a little bit like they did last week. And that's when it can open the floodgates of Josh Allen making passes and throws everywhere. So I expect them to make plays. The other aspect of this, though, is I do think the Lions are going to score a lot of points as well. I think the Lions, one, run game we know is real. You know, two, we saw last week the Bills did a pretty good job against the Browns run game, but the Browns pass game was pretty effective, and we both agree that the Browns controlled the early part of the football game before messing some things up. This Lions pass offense, I think, ties together play action pass and maybe can cause a few more problems than the Browns caused for the Bills on that side of the ball. So I'm going to pick the Bills here 34-24. But I don't like look at it as like, oh, wow, this is a dominant 34-24. I think it's going to be kind of going back and forth. It's 27-24, 5 minutes left in the game. Buffalo scores to go up by 10. One of those types of covering by the spread, not a blowout. So what do you say, Mike? How do you kind of see this unfolding?
So just so we're clear, and my math isn't always all that great, you've got the Bills winning and covering by a half point,
right?
A 10-point victory. I just look, and you've got it also going over the 54.5. It is the highest over under the week by far. The next highest over under is 47.5 in one of the other games coming up on Sunday or Monday. So I think that this one will be closer than expected. I think the Lions will dig deep. I think they're feeling that surge of adrenaline, that pride that they went into New York and beat the Giants. I think they're capable of keeping it close. I think they will keep it within the spread. I think they'll slow things down a little bit. They have transformed the offense. Early in the year, it was throwing around all over the place. Amon-Ra St. Brown was having big numbers. Jared Goff was having a year as good or better than what we saw him do with the Rams.
Yeah.
I think it's settled down. It's more deliberate. Jamal Williams has become a touchdown machine, even though he's not the workhorse tailback for the Detroit Lions. I think they deliberately try to keep Josh Allen on the sidelines, not on a turkey leg, instead of out there slicing and dicing up the Detroit defense. I've got 27-20. Bills win, Lions cover. And part of this is my bias that is hoping for great games across the board tomorrow. I want them all to be close. I want them to be exciting. That's an area where the NFL's league office and I are fully aligned. More close games, more exciting games. So we're watching and engaged all the way to the end. Not like Monday night when it's 38-10 in the fourth quarter between the 49ers and the Cardinals. I think and hope this will be a close game, a one-score game, but the Bills win, Lions cover. That's my take.
Yeah, I don't disagree with it there. This will not be, I think, one that I pick as a best bet because I could see it being the way you're describing it. I could see it being the way I describe it as well where, yeah, the Bills are better and it's a close game and – you know, hey, game might be like yours, and they get a late field goal to win by 10. I still think we're going to get entertainment either way. I think really the big you know thing I'll look for in this particular matchup is just how hard do the Bills have to sell out to stop the run, and within selling out to stop the run, you know, do they start to get gashed by some of the play-action passes and things the Lions do. That's where they're a little different than the Browns. The Browns run the ball, and where they're annoying to me is when they want to throw the ball, they don't tie it together with play-action pass. They get in the shotgun and empty personnel, and they're just like, hey, we're definitely throwing it, everybody. Definitely. And we're not even going to worry about the fact that we could play the play-action pass, and that's one of the best parts of our game is running the ball. It makes no sense. Detroit will not let Buffalo off the hook quite as easily there to where, yeah, there's a little bit better blend. And I'm excited for this game. I think it's going to be about as good as it gets as far as, you know, big plays and, you know, the theater of the game as far as the Bills being one of the best teams in the AFC and the Lions being a team for the first time in a while that they win this game. We go, holy crap. It's not crazy to think they can make the playoffs or at least be in the conversation and when we're talking about it in a few weeks.
A win gets them to 5-6, then they have the Jaguars coming to town, then they have the Vikings coming to town. They have three straight home games. They can make some noise here and force themselves either into the race for the division title or one of the wild card berths in the NFC. All right, then comes the battle of two teams that are both 7-3. When I saw this game on the schedule, I thought, oh boy, they're really relying upon the captive audience to drive up the numbers for this one. They don't need a captive audience. This one is going to, I think, surpass last year's Raiders-Cowboys game, which had an average audience of 40.5 million. I think it's going to be more like 43 or 44, maybe even 45, with the New York market fully engaged on behalf of the Giants, who are surprisingly good, the Cowboys surprisingly good. Again, both teams 7-3. The Cowboys are still 9.5-point favorites. The line is moving in their favor a little bit, not surprisingly, given that the Giants lost on Sunday and the Cowboys kicked the shit out of the Minnesota Vikings 40-3. Well, the Cowboys, Chris, kicked the shit balls out of the New York Giants, your New York Giants, on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm leaning that way. I am. I'm more of the one that thinks we're about to see the Giants bubble burst a little bit. Now, I don't mean that like to the point of like they're just going to totally fall off a cliff and not be competitive here, but I think they're going to come back to a little bit of the reality of what they are and that not going to have a record that's, you know, looked at as one of the better records in football. Again, I don't think the Giants are that quality of a football team. You know, I think they're good. But, you know, as we saw last week and as we've discussed so many times, it's the game has to shake out and play a certain way for them to win the football game. And I just don't think they can do that against this group here. You know, I think the first thing is I think the Cowboys offense poses some real big problems for the Giants. Cowboys are running the ball phenomenal. Dak Prescott, you know, the way he looked last week, the Giants don't stop the run all that well. They don't really have a shutdown cover corner. So now when they want to play man, see, that's what Detroit did to them a little last week. Ran the ball, the play action passes, crossers, stuff like that. You know, Tony Pollard's going to be get some one-on-one situations out of the backfield because the Giants are going to be so worried about loading the box. So that's where I look at that and go, I think it's going to take something miraculous, I think, for the Giants to slow down the Cowboys or at least handle them that way. And then I think the key to the football game is just, can the Giants run the ball? You know, can they run the ball, keep the Cowboys' offense off the field, control the clock that way, keep the Cowboys, defense out of the third down situations or second and long where Dan Quinn can have people coming from everywhere and dropping everywhere. And we know that pass rush is special. You know, they were all over Daniel Jones in the first matchup. The Giants did run the ball a little bit. There's no doubt. Saquon was solid in the game. A lot of the yards came on one big run. Daniel Jones scrambling was the biggest issue in the first game around. And there was Cooper Rush at quarterback for the Cowboys. I'm going Cowboys here 31-17 at home. I think they kind of win this one convincingly and kind of show that they're one of the best teams in football and that the Giants are just not in their class.
The Emotional Hedge,
yeah,
by Christopher David Simmons as he waits for – or Sims.
Sims.
I said Simmons. I'm too used to working with – I'd never even thought of that. Miles Simmons, Chris Sims. I'd never even made that connection.
You like guys with
S-I-M-M. Just farted it out. Yes. So, anyway, I got 31-20. And what I envision is I think it's going to be closer than you do. And I envision a situation where it's like 24-20 with 6 minutes or so left. The Giants have the ball, and then Micah Parsons makes some crazy-ass play, turnover, maybe even a touchdown on that turnover, or a short field touchdown for the Cowboys to make it 31-20, and then the Giants just can't do anything, and the Cowboys cover the spread. I mean, 9.5 points really isn't that much. It really isn't.
No,
from the standpoint
when you think
of
it
a
that
win
way,
becoming
right.
on the other side of it, especially when a team just won by 37 freaking points on the road. So I think it's hard to get past what happened to the Giants on Sunday and what the Cowboys did to the Vikings on Sunday. So I will say 31-20. So we're on the same page with that one as well as it relates to the winner. We disagree as to who covers the spread in the early game. Let's go to the late game. Oh, what a disaster it was on Sunday. My poor son had to live through that. The worst home loss since John F. Kennedy was president, and we made that point yesterday on the 59th anniversary of Kennedy being shot.
How did we miss
Dallas.
That? How did we miss that? I mean, I'm just so disappointed in myself, a guy that's so deep in that subject that I dropped the ball on 11-22 and didn't realize that it was, yeah. I mean, gosh, that's
it was also
crazy.
The 10-year anniversary of the butt fumble, and it was the 17-year anniversary of Phil Simms going after Steve Young for saying that you had a laissez-faire upbringing, which became relevant again because on Monday night, Booger McFarland was making the same argument about Zach Wilson, and Steve Young wisely did not take the bait 17 years later.
Well done.
He learned his lesson
yeah, okay.
the last time around.
Yeah, for
he
a guy that
scouted himself.
A guy that grew up rich. I mean, it was funny him say that about me.
Mean streets of Greenwich.
Right, right. Yeah, I hate that. You know, I do hate that. You're right. That's what revived it. It's such a cop-out. Like, I'm pretty sure Peyton Manning and Eli Manning grew up kind of rich and had things. There's a lot of guys in football. It means nothing. It's such a stupid thing to say that money affects the way the guy is now. Like, listen, I know money affects things, but to say that, oh, you're not going to work as hard or be as accountable or have the same drive because you grew up with money, it couldn't be a dumber comment. It couldn't be. How many rich people do we see grow up and then become richer than their parents or whatever else because they're motivated, they've seen the groundwork of how to work, do those things, or maybe they're like got DNA of the guy that, you know, was rich in front of them that was like the same to, oh, yeah, I work hard and I'm driven guy, and I'm that same guy. Like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? Like, that's such a lazy take.
And before we waste any more time than we already are not Sorry, talking about the game, it. the flip side of it, that's not a shot at you because I want to follow up here.
Yeah.
The flip side of it also presumes that the only way you can be successful in athletics is if you're so financially desperate, I got nothing else, so I'm going to go throw my body around with reckless abandon because I don't know where my next meal's coming from. That's as offensive as saying that the guy who has money isn't going to be mature and go out and try hard.
Exactly. You're right. I never
even
thought about
that way. The only way you can be good is if you're desperate.
Desperate, right.
You're so poor you have nothing else you can do, so you're going to go risk your life on every single snap because that's the only way you're going to put food on the table. That's every bit as offensive as suggesting that someone with money won't care enough to go out and play the game.
Yeah, I mean, how many guys do we have in football where their dads were also ex-players and certainly didn't grow up in an environment where they were – didn't Patrick Mahomes' dad play baseball for a long time? I mean, it's BS. It means nothing. Plus, my dad was a farmer and my mom was the daughter of a butcher. Like, what do you think? We were fucking eating caviar, like, for breakfast? Like, oh, we made it rich. Forget how you grew up, mom and dad. It's caviar time. In fact, where's the champagne? It's almost 10:30 a.m. Like, get out of here.
That's the other thing I've learned, too. If you grow up without much, no matter how much you ultimately acquire, you still feel like somebody who grew up without much.
Sure.
Which is a roundabout way of saying I'm still incredibly cheap, even though I've done okay, as the case may be. All right, Patriots and Vikings. Vikings did not do okay on Sunday. The Patriots did. The Patriots won their game against the Jets on kind of a walk-off punt return for a touchdown. There were still a few seconds left in the game. The Vikings got blown off the field by the Dallas Cowboys. The Vikings are 2.5-point favorites in this one against the Patriots. It will be a slightly less potent offense than what the Vikings have seen the past two games against the Bills and the Cowboys, but it's a defense that can shut down Kirk Cousins and company. Who do you like?
Well, you want to lead it off? You usually lead off the Vikings discussions. That's usually your squad
there. Well,
usually
when I feel good about it.
Well, no, I want to say I feel I know where you're going to go on this one. You're going to pick the Patriots to win one that's kind of close. But if the Vikings win, you'll still feel good, and you won't be that mad that you picked the Patriots to win. I know you. This is where it's going to go. You're going to pick the Patriots to win by 3 or 4 points.
It's the same mindset you applied to picking the Cowboys to cover.
See,
okay. either way, you get a consolation prize. Either your team wins, or you're right. But no, I want to be right more than anything else. Yeah. Because it's funny. When I'll pick these games and people, oh, you hate the Jaguars. You hate the no, I want to be right. I love being right. I'm not picking against a team or for a team. I fundamentally, ultimately want to be right. And I believe the Patriots will beat the Vikings on Thursday night. Short week favors Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick will not sleep, will not eat, will not do anything but get his team ready to go there and beat the Vikings. They've beaten the Vikings 5 straight times. Now they had Tom Brady for each of those. But I just think that the Vikings did get exposed to a certain extent by the Cowboys, and the Patriots will take full advantage of that. And that one thing that still sticks in my mind, Tony Pollard's comment after the game that the 68-yard catch and run for a touchdown on 3rd and 14 on the first drive of the third quarter was a play that was put in that week for that opponent. The Vikings have tells defensively, and the Patriots will take advantage of it, and there may be other plays that the Patriots are putting in this week just for the Vikings defense based upon everything they've seen, and 3 days isn't enough time for Ed Donatell to plug those holes. 17-13, Patriots win, and it could be worse than that, frankly.
Well, I'm going to go 20-17, Patriots win. It's a great defense, the Patriots. And you know, we've seen teams – hey, we saw Washington certainly, you know, give a little bit of a blueprint on how to slow down the Vikings offense. You know, Buffalo for a lot of the game managed to do some things to slow down the offense that, of course, we had last week. Yeah, I have a hard time envisioning this Vikings offense consistently moving the ball against this group. One, there's no weakness on the Patriots defense, really. And you got to catch them off guard with some schematical thing that they haven't seen or prepared for. And I don't know if there's anything there other than maybe a trick play or something that Minnesota can come up with. We're talking about a run here in the last 5-6 weeks. If you take the Bears game out where they broke out the quarterback run for the first time in Justin Fields' career, I mean, teams can't score points against the Patriots. I mean, first downs are hard. So, and then your Vikings team, you know, is not a great running football team. And they got run stoppers, and, you know, I don't think they're going to have to put extra guys in the box and put themselves in tough positions where it's just a Justin Jefferson day to where he's going to expose people. So, yeah, I look at that as being advantage Patriots. And even though the Patriots offense, to your point, it's not special, they can run the ball. That's the one thing we do know. And yeah, you guys are not a great defense, struggle against the pass. I don't know if they can take advantage of all that's there to be had with the pass, but by the way they run, the efficiency of the offense, yeah, I think they'll just outscore you guys and kind of gut it out. I'm going to take the Patriots 20-17 on the road.
I was talking to Coach Dungy the other day about it. He's going to be calling the game with Jason Garrett and Mike Tirico, and he said the Christian Darrisaw concussion, second one in 2 games.
Yeah.
He exited during the loss to the Cowboys, that without him, it's just going to be very difficult for the Vikings offense to do anything. Kirk Cousins can't extend the play with his legs. Justin Jefferson has said, we got to get the ball out faster. Watch some of the highlights. You can't get it out any faster than the walls closed in on Kirk Cousins last week. So it's going to take everything the Vikings can do to try to score some points against the Patriots.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
All right. Before the football starts tomorrow, we mentioned this earlier. Second screen while you're watching Lions hosting the Bills.
Rough.
After the Thanksgiving Day parade at noon Eastern on NBC and Peacock, Catch the National Dog Show presented by Purina. Use that second screen and watch those good boys and good girls run around while you're watching the Bills and the Lions. Two screen time, National Dog Show.
Do you give Macy turkey tomorrow? Do you give her some food on the side? What does she get? Yeah.
Macy gets whatever Macy wants. Whatever she wants. And she will get some turkey. And what'll happen is she'll initially go to my father-in-law because she perceives my father-in-law is the weak link as it relates to the willingness to accidentally drop food on the ground. And then once she's gotten everything she's going to get from him, she swings back around to me because I'm the next one on the list of people most likely to give her food.
Right.
So
right.
She'll be, you know, nudging around with her nose and just sitting there, just looking, just waiting and pawing at you. And
she knows the two old guys will have problems getting all the food in their mouth, and some will dribble on the ground.
Do you have to pixelate all of that? Will that be pixelated?
I hope not.
All right, let's get to it. Best bet. One. You got one. Over, under, pick against the spread from the Thanksgiving games. This is one, and it counts on our permanent record, get it right. What do you got?
Yeah, well, I am a little tempted by that over on the Bills-Lions game, but ultimately, I think the one I feel most comfortable about is the Dallas Cowboys covering the spread against the Giants. I just feel like I can see other avenues of disruption in the other two games where this one is just the one where I could see the Cowboys kind of controlling this game through and through. So I'm going to ride with the Cowboys here to cover the 9.5-point spread.
I hate to do this. I really do. But I want to be right. I mean, I'd like it to be interesting. I'd like to pick one of the other games, but I'm with you. Of these three, the one that I feel the most confident about is the Cowboys covering the 9.5-point spread against the New York Giants.
Patriots. You talked about the Giants, and I thought, gosh, there's no, for sure he won't do that. I'm disappointed to see you do that.
Sometimes it's very simple. The Cowboys beat the Giants in their own building with Cooper Rush at quarterback.
Sure.
Do we really need to say anything else
about
this game than the Cowboys beat the Giants in their own building with Cooper Rush at quarterback?
Well, and to add that, I was in the building that day too, and we talked about this a little this morning. There was people open for the Cowboys all game long, and he missed them. And then, of course, that was the defensive holding game. I mean, the Giants got away with probably four or five blatant defensive holds where you just go, I don't know what the refs are even looking at. And then Daniel Jones's ability to escape pressure, they couldn't protect him at all during the game. And his runs are kind of what saved them and made the game, you know, somewhat close there for a while. But, yeah, I don't know. Again, I guess maybe I'm relying a little too much on my in-person experience about what I saw there. And to your point, I thought I saw the Cowboys that were clearly a better team than the New York Giants.
You were the PFTPM Chris Sims Unbuttoned Advanced Scout.
Exactly.
There's no more value in it than being there to actually see it happen. So. Right. That's where we are. All right, so that's the Thanksgiving Day games. We're going to do a completely separate Week 12 Picks Mega Podcast. You'll see that tomorrow, wherever it shows up. I never really know. I do know this, though. I want all of you to have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. Enjoy the turkey.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Politely decline the shitballs.
Heard they're not good.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.